RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from July 1948. The Timber Tract Murders. The 148th Adventure of the Phantom Detective. Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace. Read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Loan dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Loan returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Loan swings his way into mystery, a specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask, his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, The Timber Tract Murders. Chapter 1. Shape of Shadow. The afternoon was waning when Dale Worden drove his canoe across the inlet. Lake Heron, deep and quiet, lay like a silver mirror in the Maine woods. Worden, big, rugged, and tanned to the color of old leather, shipped his dripping paddle where the lake water shoaled and stepped out of the canoe. For a minute he stood looking across the lake. Over there the Worden track, as the natives call it, spread into the tree-filled distance. A faint, reflective smile crept across Worden's young face. The tract belonged to him and his cousin, Sam Gilson. They owned it jointly, having inherited it from John Worden, their uncle, who, a month before, had been found dead at Thunder Cave, far up the tract. Dale Worden pulled the canoe out of the water. Muscles rippled as he eased it up on the bank of the inlet. He turned it over, shoving it into the shrubbery before he took the path that twisted through the underbrush, leading to the shack a quarter of a mile away where he lived. The smile left his tanned face as he pushed on. He was thinking of his Uncle John Worden's death. The coroner's jury at Branham, the main town 7 miles south, had brought in a verdict of suicide. But Dale Worden knew his uncle hadn't taken his own life. There were too many reasons why he wanted to live. Dale knew that powerful Canadian lumber interests had been dickering for the timberland tract. Twice, before John Worden had been found at the cave, a man named David Carew, representing the Montreal interests of Morgan Moore, the so-called Saskatoon Lumber King, had come to Brannan and been in conference with old John Worden. Dale knew that his uncle loved money far too much to send a .45 slug ripping through his brain at a time when Carew was making overtures to obtain the tract. Sheriff Butler's investigation had brought out that the old man had used his own gun. It had been clutched in his right hand when they found him, crumpled in the dark dampness of Thunder Cave. Swinging along down the path, Dale Worden shrugged his broad shoulders. Personally, he had no reason to complain about the findings of the jury. His Uncle John's death had given him a chance to come into a lot of cash. It was only a question of time before David Carew would be back in Branham again, singing his siren song. He and his cousin Sam, Dale told himself, were sitting pretty. Automatically, Sam had made him the business head of their joint combine. Dale Worden's face hardened. Sam Gilson, unfortunately, was none too bright. For years, Sam had been something of a village half-wit. The butt of jokes and horseplay his limited intelligence could neither understand nor fathom. But that, Dale told himself, was going to be changed in the future. If the Worden tract were sold, Dave was going to see to it that Sam's split of the money was invested wisely, and that his cousin was well taken care of.